Hi, everybody. This is John Fusco from No Film School, and boy, do we have a really great podcast for you today. During our extensive coverage of the Toronto International Film Festival last month, I got a chance to sit down with Antonio Campos and Craig Svilovich, fresh off a screening of their fantastic biopic, Christine. The film tells the tragic story of Christine Chubbuck, a 1970s news reporter whose mental illness led her to commit suicide on live television. This is the first film Campos has directed outside of his Borderline film collective, and he admits while the partnership with screenwriter Craig Svilovich may have started off rocky, it blossomed into a wonderful collaboration. We talked about how friction, confrontation, and ultimately acceptance between a screenwriter and director are perhaps the most important ingredients to a successful artistic partnership. There's some really great advice in here, and it was an awesome experience to sit down with two incredibly humble, down-to-earth filmmakers who are so clearly on top of their game. I can only hope you enjoy our conversation half as much as I enjoy leading it. Here it is. I'm going to ask you guys to introduce yourselves to so our audience can be familiar with your voices, starting with you, Antonio.
Hi, I'm Antonio Campos. I am the director of Christine.
I'm Craig Svilovich. I'm the screenwriter and one of the producers of Christine.
So I was just saying that we'd like to sort of focus this podcast on the collaboration between a director and a screenwriter, since I have you both here. Do you want to talk a little bit about your process? I guess maybe from the get-go, from the creation of the script, were you involved, Antonio, or were you brought on?
I wasn't involved in the creation of the script. I was certainly involved in the development when I came on. But Craig had been writing the script and gone through many iterations of it before I came on, but from, I would say, from when I came on to when we started shooting, the script didn't change drastically. There were just certain things, I think, that in the process of working together we found together, things that I might have, a visual language that I might have started to form in the script. But maybe, Craig, what do you think? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean,
better?
I was like working alone on this thing for probably 3 or 4 years, like from when I like had an idea that I wanted to do this, and then when I had a draft that I felt good about, and then I had started showing around. And then it was probably like 8 months after that until Antonio and I connected. So there was a lot of just me, you know, like alone in a dark room type of a thing. And it's weird to develop that intense sort of like relationship with a project and then to invite someone else aboard who's clearly going to have like their own ideas and impulses and stuff. And it was nice that we were pretty in step like from the get-go. But I was also a first-time screenwriter like writing this thing. So the sort of giving up this project to both Antonio and the actors, and then ultimately to everyone else involved, that was like a learning process for me. It wasn't always fun or pleasant, but no. it was an education for sure, and I think I got better at it, you know, as it went on.
What would you say some of the things that you learned in that transition were giving it up?
What did I learn?
What did you learn?
What did you learn? That it's that everyone is trying to help like every step of the way, and you always have to remember that, and there's always like literally always something good in every piece of criticism coming your way, even if it's not what they're saying it is, that you still, there's something underneath of it, and that when someone is presenting you with an idea or like a problem, they might not have the right solution, but there's if one or certainly if multiple people are saying the same thing, there's, you owe it to yourself and the project to like take a look at that. And I think the gut impulse, especially first time out, is to like defend your work.
Totally. Yeah.
And explain why this needs to happen, and opening yourself up to criticism and new ideas, and well, not only opening yourself up to it, but learning that it's valuable is I had to learn that. I'd never done that before. Totally. So and Antonio and I refined the script over and over and over and over again. Like he said, it wasn't drastically different from when we met to when we filmed it, but like scene to scene, it's I went back recently before this festival and like looked at what I had written, and if we had just filmed that, it would not have been passable, like, mm-hmm. as a movie. Like, mm-hmm. the characters just, like, weren't quite there yet. It wasn't, it wasn't credible. And we made it credible without making big dramatic shifts to anything. And that's in a way, tougher work, mm-hmm. actually.
No, sorry, go ahead.
No, you can go.
No, because I was going to say, because the script was, because I remember when I read the script, I really loved the script. It wasn't like I read the script and was like, oh man, this is going to be a lot of work. It was more like I read the script and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And these are things that I see we could do here or there. And then I had an opinion about where things were. And, you know, I think that we had it was my first time working with a writer, mm-hmm. And that was a new process for me too, and understanding, Greg understanding, you know, that when people were putting in people's inputs wasn't an attack on the work, but more of like a reflection of what they like, mm-hmm. and what they want, and sometimes if what another person likes and wants coincides with your vision, then that's where you get the good stuff. Sometimes their ideas are better than your ideas, and you have to accept that. And the beauty is, you take the credit for it ultimately in the end. So it's your job. It's your job is really a sort of decision maker at times, mm-hmm. Not the creator always, but the decision one, the one that says like, okay, the gatekeeper kind of. But as a director working with a writer, you know, it was learning process for me too, and knowing that. If Craig was being defensive, it was because he was going through something and that I had to sort of respect the fact that this was his thing, mm-hmm. that I was coming in, you know, I was coming into something and taking on an ownership control position, but I hadn't been with it for nearly as long as Craig. I mean, you know, years less than Craig had been on it. So, it's acknowledging that and also sort of and respecting that and knowing that, you know, at times you get into conversations where it's like the writer goes, you know, I did that, I tried that, and then you have to sort of, you have a level of trust and go, okay, well, if it doesn't work, you talk it out, and then it doesn't work and you move on. And that's the only way that you can actually, I think, eventually actually get to make a movie, is because you have to know when you go to like abandon certain ideas and to like pursue others, because, you know, there's just too many suggestions and things that are coming up. So you gotta say, okay, well, we tried that, move on, you know. But it was a process for me too.
So you've been on both sides, obviously, as a screenwriter and a director. Can you give an example of sort of like what a bad note would be to give in a collaboration, or something that would be like a negative way to collaborate in a sense? It seems like you two found a great way to give notes to each other.
We did over time.
It was not easy in the beginning.
No, it was like we really fought. Rough for a while. We fought a lot.
Yeah.
But also that was like the flip side of what we're saying, where you have to like open yourself up and you have to be willing to expand the thing that you made and incorporate other viewpoints. Another thing I learned, and that was really cool with me and Antonio, is we were very good at shooting each other's bad ideas down, which then that's a fine line too. Mm-hmm. It's like, because you don't want to be defensive all the time, but you also do want to prevent bad stuff from going in the movie. And that cut both ways. Like both of us had to constantly be like, I'm sorry, man, but that is not going to work like for this movie. Right. And here's why. And that's as important as the opposite.
Yeah.
Because like keeping the shitty stuff that doesn't quite work out and being aware of it and being okay with vocalizing it, because it's after a certain point of working on the project, your guard drops and like you just kind of want the thing to be done, you know? Yeah. And it's very easy to just be like, all right, let's put in that scene that I know doesn't work, but to like shut you up basically. And he and I never let each other do that. And that was cool to see, and I think like a little jarring for the people working around us, because it I think on the outside maybe looked like excessive like negativity, but right. I think that was like important work.
And also like if I said to, you know, and that's the other important thing about collaboration, is that like as shitty as confrontation is, it's a necessary part for any sort of relationship to become a meaningful one. If you kind of have like a pleasant relationship with someone, it's pleasant, but then you kind of skirt around things and you don't actually get the confrontation is where you actually go, okay, so this is a real friendship, because we can get through these kind of like things where we like, yeah, we shit on each other's ideas, or we're you know, we can get mad at each other and then come out of it. You know, those are, that's like what makes a friendship, not like everything going well all the time.
Right.
And it's that process of the friction sometimes is where the good stuff comes, because you can end up like these kind of things where you're like, you start off and you're like having this kind of like, no, but I don't think that's working. And the other person goes, but that's not going to work because of this. And then you kind of start slowly getting on the same page, and then it turns into, but wait, but then we could do, okay, but then, and then it's like all of a sudden the
energy,
vibe,
yeah, like goes in the other direction.
And it's amazing. And those kind of, and then you end a conversation, you're like, oh, that idea wouldn't have come if we didn't sort of like.
Butt heads a little bit.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, and ultimately, you know, after this experience and having written, I much rather work with a writer than alone. Mm-hmm. And writing again, I'd much rather work with a partner, because it's just the whole process of filmmaking is inherently collaborative, and it's nice when, you know, it's not just collaborative on set.
Right.
I learned that same lesson. Like I will try to involve a director earlier, and I will look forward to that work again. I didn't come out of this thinking like, well, they ruined the script, or like that was miserable in my vision and all. Like, it's a total collaboration, and it was like a pleasure to watch it just get better through that work. So I'm glad that was the takeaway for me too.
So then, Antonio, how did any of those discussions, did any of those discussions lead to sort of discoveries for you as far as the visual look of the piece?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the thing with screenplay is that directors kind of overlook sometimes is that writers are writing in visual cues, mm-hmm. and directors can get hung up on their own ideas that they don't even read the description sometimes. Just like reading the dialogue and you're like getting hung up on your vision of the scene. But then there are like little things throughout, like very specific cues, visual cues that are in the writing, pointing your gaze to one thing or another, or one place or another. And so Craig was very, very good at injecting those things when the things that he saw, you know. There was a lot of things that were still open for interpretation, but there was scene when Craig had a specific visual in mind that was important to the storytelling.
And that was written out?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, or just like, I'm trying to remember exactly an example, but like, if in the telling of a scene, there might be a description that is about how she's interacting with something, or what she's looking at, or what she's touching, that is something that is being placed there for a reason. And sometimes, as a director, you might just get caught up with other things about the scene, mm-hmm. or of a tone of the scene, and lose sight of the narrative of the scene, and how the scene falls into a bigger, the bigger picture, you know, because you can get so caught up in directing the scene, you know, directing the scene.
Right.
So, you know, Craig is very, very, very precise as a storyteller. So if anything is in the script, it's in there for a reason. And it's very, it's like been obsessed about for a long time. So I guess in a sense, though I'm not answering it specifically, I am saying that the writer is also, in his own way, he's starting the process of the shot listing.
Mm-hmm. But then that's also work that continues in addition to like working with the characters and, you know, reworking the story and stuff. Antonio would want to incorporate his specific vision for the movie. It was like small stuff, and as the writer at first I was like, why are we getting hung up on, you know, the color of this or the color of that? It doesn't matter. And I was wrong. I like realized through the course of it that was just like a wrong way to look at it for a variety of reasons. One, like that is how Antonio or a director like gets their hand on it. And like, you know, you say someone's name three times, you remember it. Like by putting their own thing into the script so that they can see it and read it, it's a way of actually like literally connecting with it and making it feel like their own. And then also, and I'm like a producer, so I should have known this. Like, the script is literally the blueprint for making the movie. It's something that 70-100 people are going to look at, and if that thing isn't in there, it's not going to end up in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody looks at it to a point where it's annoying on set. They're like, well, it says in the script that, you know, the chicken has a red, like, boot on. Like, do we get the chicken with the red boot? And everyone's like, what are we talking about? Why are we talking about the chicken with the red boot? But it's important from a practical perspective to incorporate that stuff, because that's the stuff they have to run out and, you know, spend money and buy. And then also there, it's also, just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not important. So this thing where Antonio was talking about, I wouldn't put something in unless I'd obsessed over it. And I would always say, like, why, Antonio, why are we putting that in? Like, why does it have to be there? And a couple of times I could just tell that he needed it and that I had to trust him. And then seeing us make it, I was like, oh, that's what was going on there. And I'll tell you the big example I can think of. In so if you've seen the movie, there's a scene where she's sitting in a car with George before they go into the gymnasium, and Tony really wanted to write into the script that cars were pulling into the parking lot and, like, the lights were flashing over them, and it was, like, enhancing Christine's confusion. And I was like, it's clear as day Christine is confused. I don't understand why this is happening. Why do we have to work on this? Can't we work on another scene? And I, at a certain point, he was like, this is important, let's write it in, please just do it for me, shut the fuck up, just, like, put it in the script. And then when we shot that scene, first of all the cars, you know, had to, like, show up and be there, and we had to be prepared to drive them, and the props guy had to, like, do that. And then seeing the effect of it, though, I was like, this is essential to the, like, the tone of this scene. Of course that should be, like, an element of the script. And then in the end, it was, like, hard work either for me to do, so, like, why was I bucking against that? But, like, I am happy to admit, you know, like, fault, and, like, having learned from that kind of the stuff. But yeah, that's, like, now one of my favorite scenes in the movie for that, like, for that reason.
No, absolutely. I mean, that visual image just heightens the tension. And also, up until that point, you think they're, like, maybe on a date, and then it's weird that all of these headlights are coming in. It's cool. Very interesting. So I guess we're going to have to wrap things up here, but I'm going to finish off with one question that I'd like to ask everybody, and that's if you had any advice for young filmmakers or emerging filmmakers trying to get into this, what would you say?
I would say that your career is long, and it doesn't happen the same for everyone, and it's easy to lose sight of that. But if you're committed and you believe that this is what you're supposed to do, it may take 1 year, it may take 20 years, but you have to kind of commit to it and believe that there is no other thing that you should be doing, or, you know.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Craig?
Trust your instincts about your own work. And if you think something is good, like, really just grind until you get it out there, because no one's going to make that project but you. But on the flip side, know that there's going to be, like, a learning period. Like, I wrote a number of scripts before I wrote Christine, and I never showed them to anyone and never will. And I just trusted that, you know, they weren't good enough to go out there. Like, I had taste. So trust your taste. Like, that's, in the end, that's all you have, is, like, your taste as, like, a filmmaker. And that has to continue to apply to, like, your own work too. So just, yeah, be in touch with yourself, and don't force it if it's not coming. And when it's there, like, just do it.
So then I have one follow-up question for you, Craig, actually, just because you said earlier that this was the first screenplay that you've ever, this is your first screenplay that you put out. How is producing that? Would you say that's a good sort of strategy for first-time screenwriters to go out and
Well,
try
if you're writing your own script, and, like, you're going to, and if it's something like this that doesn't have just very easy to see market appeal, you have to be a producer on your own project. And I'm sure,
but Craig should say that he has produced extensively in the past.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it's not just, so he literally could wear two hats confidently.
Right.
Yeah. So, and not everyone can do that, but I would recommend it for sure. It was like a little bit of a head fuck, like, doing both at times, but I would do it again for sure, because it was ultimately, like, once Tony and I got on the same page, once we started making the movie and I could just, like, produce for him, like, with our friend Melody, we were pretty in sync, actually, and I just became a servant, you know, like, of the movie. But but it, yeah, they're totally dueling headspaces to be in, and it was, I had to learn how to do it like kind of on the fly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, any project that you're like originating, if it's going to be an independent film, in some sense, you're going to have to be like a producer on it. Like Tony was a producer on all of his movies. Yeah. No one's going to get those going, you know, but you.
Cool. Well, great, guys. Thanks for your time.
So
thanks
for having us.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, man. Till the next one.
For all of our No Film School podcasts, be sure and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever audio platform you're using. Christine hits theaters this Friday, and I highly recommend that everyone check it out. We'll be back on Thursday for another installment of Indie Film Weekly, and 2 weeks from today, be sure and come back for another podcast interview with two directors from Netflix's upcoming season of Black Mirror. If you liked this podcast, please go to the iTunes store and show a little love, and if you like me, you can follow me on Twitter @Jim_John_Jim. Until Thursday, thanks for listening, and have a good week.